David, so how does this technology tie into Comet Elenin?
Well, this is where it gets really kind of sci-fi, and then we'll kind of way back down to ground and right back down to reality. I wasn't satisfied that, of course, that NASA was going to tell us the truth about Elenin and several other, you know, asteroid or comet-like bodies entering the solar mm-hmm. system all at the same time at this great epoch of tonight, September 27th. So I had built what I believe to be a faster-than-light radio transmitter. It does not use radio waves. It uses quantum technology to send a message. A series of questions that I recorded on a CD, and I plugged it in just like people do at radio stations, music, and I sent it out on the transmitter several times on August the 21st in the wee hours of the morning, going from the 20th to the 21st. And I asked a distant star system group where I sent the message to. Now, when we send a radio signal out into space, when the Beatles song, you know, Across the Universe was broadcast to Polaris, the Northern Star, they send it like a cannon, you know, like firing a beam and hoping it's going to get
there. Hoping it's going to get there.
I know, of course, that doesn't work. And, of course, that's not how extraterrestrials are doing this. And I wanted to know if there's intelligence behind Comet Elenin, as Richard Hoagland, you know, proposed, then somebody out there knows about it. And there's no way you're going to get an answer from anybody on Earth if we even know about it. And so I had, last August, 2010, sent my wife singing a jazz song called, Fly Me to the Moon through the transmitter. And I really didn't know if it was going to work. This was 2010 because I do it again on August the 21st, which is my 50th birthday this
mm-hmm.
year.
Okay.
And that is the date when Comet Elenin started breaking up, supposedly breaking up, in concert with my transmission.
You broke it up.
Well, this really gets amazing what starts to happen. So in the middle of the night on August the 22nd, and then, I'm sorry, coming into the 21st in 2010, I am awoken. It's like someone tore the fabric of space-time. I hear this loud voice that, congratulations, we received your message loud and clear. This was in 2010, August 21st. And I went, oh, my God, I jumped out of bed, and I told my wife they heard the jazz song. It worked. The harmonic transmitter sent the message to the Pleiades star system 444 light years away, faster than the speed of light. I said, this is impossible. So let's get up before my birthday is over, and let's record a series of questions to them, which we did in the year 2010. And I've never talked about this anywhere because it's kind of scary to think that this...
It's a little out there, David.
It's way out there to think who's going to believe you, and who can send messages to a star system that far away and get an answer within a day? That just doesn't seem possible. Or are there Pleiadian ships in our solar system? Now, before we go to Elenin, and just on point, remember that the first UFO I saw in Berkeley in 1960 with over 100 witnesses that day clearly appeared to me and showed me how their craft worked and told me they were Pleiadians. This is before the Billy Myers story ever broke, because his story starts in the early 70s. This is 1967, 68. So I had a relationship with that star system as a child, and I always wanted to contact them. So we did it again, believe it or not, and the answers I got back that year are so stunning, I can't go into that tonight.
Well, we're going to get into some of them, but what does this machine look like that you built?
Well,
kind of paint us a picture here.
I don't want to give away the technology, but I can tell you a little bit to kind of tease people who are techies out there a little bit. In biological systems, there is a function that acts as a trigger that causes something mysterious in quantum systems, you know, the atom and smaller, to send these signals out faster than the speed of light. A physicist named Alain Aspect in the 1990s separates the electron and the positron over any distance, and using atomic clocks, they communicate faster, way faster than the speed of light, in fact, almost instantaneously. And, of course, the same thing happens in plants. The problem... When William Shockley was inventing the transistor, before he got it to work in a dry environment, he was so frustrated he couldn't get it to work. He stuck it in water. And what is in water are tons of little microbes and living organisms, you know, floating around under the microscope. There's a Russian physicist named Alexander Djejevsky who noticed that these little microorganisms in water would go crazy the moment a solar flare was leaving the sun 8.3 minutes before the light would arrive at Earth. He knew that these little biological critters could communicate faster than light. When William Shockley got a transistor to work in water, he said, we can't use water because it will dry up. We got to get this to work without water. So all the research into liquid crystal, as opposed to solid-state crystal, was abandoned. Now, that's a little teaser there, because what I did involves living liquid crystal.
Are you going to patent this idea, David?
Well, I actually have tested it and tested it with several other people, and whom used the technology. We recorded their voice, and we sent messages out, and they had an experience that night. And these are people who really didn't even believe in it that much. So, you know, I was ready to tell Gary Schwartz with his Project Sophia that, you know, Gary, you know, if you want to record a series of questions, I'll send it out and you can tell me if you're going to have an experience. But, you know, a whole year passed. I didn't, you know, I thought there's no way anyone's going to believe this because they want to see an answer come back in the form of a radio signal. And that's not how this stuff works.
But the answer comes back kind of in your mind, in your head.
Well, no, it's extremely loud. It's not like your mind getting a telepathic message. I heard this voice loud and clear.
Would somebody else have heard it had they been in your room?
Well, my wife is in my room.
Did she hear it?
She didn't hear it, but she had an experience this year.
I mean, how can it be so loud and no one else can hear it?
Well, imagine when Moses used the Ark of the Covenant and he was communicating with his God. You know, John Anderson has done a lot of duplication on rebuilding the Ark of the Covenant. There are no speakers in the Ark of the Covenant, yet it has electrical capacitance. It has properties of a transistor. There is a lot of evidence that it was a telecommunications device between Moses and his God. But
maybe they were on your frequency somehow.
Because it's biological, George. See, there's a biological attachment to the electronic components in my transmitter. And the biological component means that it's the biological critters, these little microorganisms, that actually are the sensors that interface with the electronic components that we can amplify the signal with. And so it's really the answer is going to come into biology first. There may be a way that I can amplify the biological signal and get a real physical response. Well, I did get a physical response, and this is what's exciting.
What did they say to you exactly?
Well, that was the year 2010. Now, this year it's even more stunning because on August 21st in the wee hours, it's coming in from the 20th, I had no idea that Elenin was about to break up.
Nobody did, David.
Nobody did. I sent out a series of questions to a star group that's so far away from the solar system, it's almost irrelevant. But we asked them, you know, is the October 28th, 2011 date still on? And also about the alignment of September 27th, which is today, in Comet Elenin. When we sent it out on August 22nd, the very next day, in the series of questions I asked them to please appear to us in a way that doesn't compromise your life.